Hi, everyone. It is just so wonderful to see everybody here this evening. So, just loving being able to share this space with everyone. And I think we're mostly all on the evening time zone, but if you are in a different time zone, just fill in whatever time zone you're in with the greeting in terms of good, and then whatever time it is. So I'm really happy to see everyone. So my name is Ryan Pendergrass, and my pronouns are he, him, and they, them. And I live in within Ohlone territory, in an area that's now called Richmond, California. And looking around, the one person's indicated a couple of people indicate where they are, which is wonderful. So you can feel free to do so if you'd like to. So tonight, yes, I am filling in for someone. So if I'm a little less maybe smooth than usual, that's because I'm sort of in some ways winging it. So but I thought it would be great for us to start with a stationary meditation. We can share this time together. It will be half an hour long to be able to nourish our bodies through stationary practice, nourish our hearts, be able to get more of a sense of being grounded. This world, much of power relies on making us often feel like kites blown around in the worldly winds. And that's all very real. And then we also have an opportunity in our stationary practice to really reconnect with the earth, really connect with more that holds us and can help us feel grounded in everything that we're in. So, please choose a stationary meditation position of your choice. It could be sitting, standing, lying down. You can have your camera on or off. It's up to you. I'll ring a bell at the end of the meditation. So just check in. What is supportive for your body right now? And if comfort is challenging in any way, that is absolutely okay. Our bodies are all different, and they have all different kinds of experiences all throughout our lives. So if comfort is challenging in any way, just seek out the most comfortable position you can, and then send out loving kindness. Our bodies work so hard all the time. You might even feel at this point you want to stretch maybe your arms a little bit, or maybe just your hands, toes. Could be stretching out maybe your neck a little bit. I like to think of it as a bit like watching a bird land. Sometimes when they land, they kind of floof around just a little bit and kind of go outwards, and then they settle down and get comfortable. If you've ever seen a fern in the woods, a green fern, they're steady, but they also gently unfurl in the spring. So we can steady ourselves, but we can also start to, after getting that centering, if it feels right this evening, you can also just gently connect out beyond where your mind has been at. Maybe it's been on sticky thoughts, or it's been lots and lots and lots of thoughts. So it can just be like this cooling down and then kind of a gently relaxing and unfurling. ground. We let the silt in all of the muddy water, the silt begins to settle. Or like a shaken snow globe, the snow all begins to settle and rest. We begin to settle. We can thank the land. We can send out gratitude to the land we are on. Gratitude to the spirits of the land. Gratitude to the original people of the lands that we're on, that are still here, stewards of the lands for thousands of years. As we become more still, and the silt settles, the snow globe begins to get clear. We can always remember that the earth is here and supporting us. It's the earth that is loving us. We are held carefully in the Earth's gravity. We are grounded, connected. So if things get stirred up at any point, it's okay. But you can just identify where you feel contact. Floor, chair, surface. Gravity is holding us. Our mind sometimes can float away, but we are not floating any, we are not floating away. We're not going anywhere. We are connected to the earth and the ground, the rocks and the mountains. Minerals are in us too. You can also reach out and connect with the steadiness of the mountain. Or even the steadiness of a great tree. The roots are going deep. And the trunk is steady. And the branches are flexible in the wind. So we'll move into silence now. And remember, you can call back to this connectedness to the earth at any time. At any time, the steadiness of the mountain or the rooted nature of the tree. The real connectedness that's right here for all of us right now. So you are all welcome to gently come back from stationary meditation. Please feel free to stretch a little if that would feel supportive. Have a drink of water. Whatever would help with the little shift now from our stationary meditation together. So, welcome again to the LGBTIQ A plus Sangha of Spirit Rock. So glad you're all attending today. And my name is Ryan Pendergrass. I am filling in for who is going to lead tonight. My pronouns are he, him, and they, them. And I live on Ohlone land in the almost North Bay, East Bay, Northeast Bay, in the Bay Area of California. So tonight, I'm going to talk about belonging. And I know that it is a very, very big topic. Just in saying the word, there can be many emotions that come up around that. Sometimes in LGBTQIA plus spaces, sometimes there's messaging that there's some kind of equal belonging in the room through being a part of what sometimes I call the alphabet army, or someone who said LGBT qua, which is what how a kid pronounced it at one point, which I thought was wonderful. But the there's it's not a level field. So there is having LGBTQIA plus identities. And there are also intersecting oppressions that could be experienced here for those of us in the room. So I really want to say that first when even bringing in the word belonging. And also with belonging, even for those who identify within LGBTQIA plus, it can also be unlevel across that. So, for example, for trans identities in some spaces that identify as gay or lesbian, or bisexual or pansexual identities within spaces that are gay or lesbian. And there are many, many ways that this all shakes out because of the systems of harm and domination that we're in. Sonya Renee Taylor, in the book The Body Is Not an Apology, talks about this ladder that so many of us are end up on of different levels of privilege, acceptance, messages of belonging. So, but she does remind us all that if we were able to walk away from that ladder, that the ladder would fall because this is something that is constructed by systems of power and domination. And part of that removal of belonging, that sense of belonging, is part of how that power does harm. So I wanted to say that in even just starting off with the word belonging, to acknowledge all of that. And yet, one of my favorite meditation teachers and friends visited for 3 days over the weekend. And that's so much of what we talked about all weekend was how through our meditation and spiritual practices and various kinds of community that we've been able to be a part of, that there has been a reclaiming of belonging and a sense of going home, home to ourselves, home to what is has always been there, even when there have been many things that ended up on top of that. So the first step when talking about belonging, though, is to make sure to bring in a sense of resources. So I encourage everybody to just actually take a moment to do that. So if at any point senses of lack of connection, or the echoes of messages of non-belonging, or any sense of disassociation come up, we can remember that we're not alone. And also just to extend a lot of loving care and kindness to ourselves if those feelings do come up, because those are extremely natural in this world that we're in. So I encourage everybody to just practice for a moment how you can call in resources in your resourcing. And this is a practice that you can bring with you wherever you go if you start to feel those feelings. So just we're going to take a meditation moment again, even though we had our stationary meditation, a meditation moment again. And so you could close your eyes if it feels okay, or just maybe just relax your face. Calling in what resources you. So this can be the earth that is holding us all, never letting go of us, the gravity holding us, the earth that loves us so much. And in getting in touch with the earth, we can feel whatever part of us is touching a surface that can be connection with the earth. You can also call in any other resources, perhaps it's beloveds in your life. For me, I'll call in my cat companion. Could be a beloved dog. Sometimes when I really need to resource, I will call in the spirit of the dog that I grew up with, because I still feel like she watches over me, like she did when I was a small kid. Or perhaps you can call in a person who looks at you with love and kindness. And the magical thing about calling in resources is you don't have to call in someone of this world or of this time and place. It doesn't have to be linear time. It can be calling in ancestors. It can be calling in Kuan Yin with 1,000 eyes and 1,000 hands who's always listening with compassion and wisdom. So first, just calling in your resources. So please keep doing that during the rest of my talk. If there's a sense of floating away or feeling disconnected in any way, sending that loving care and kindness and compassion and calling in resources. And when I'm out and about in the world, no one else knows that I'm doing this. I can be in an airport with a lot going on, and I could be in like a complicated line of people, and I can feel my feet on the ground and be calling in my resources. One of my favorite things about continuing to grow a sense of internal belonging, even when there are messages that are counter to that, is and getting more and more connected to my resources within is I'm not letting power steal my joy. I am protecting my joy and protecting my loving connection to the earth, even with whatever else might be going on. One other recommendation around resources is that there are times when I cannot seem to access those internal resources, and that's when it's a great idea to kind of reach outwards for to other resources. So it could be a friend who holds up the mirror of the reflection of how they see you, or it could be a beloved author or a beloved artist or some way that you can also bring in that belonging, that sense of resourcing that can help you get in touch with belonging and bring it in when maybe resources are hard to access through your practice. And I know that was like a lot of lead up to even talk more about belonging, but I think it's so important in a world that first wants to take away that, so that then it's hard for us to get even close to where we can get in touch with our belonging. Oh, and another example of resourcing. I was on a meditation retreat not that long ago, and with some of the struggle bus that I was on with getting grounded, I just started listening to favorite music that could help me come home to my body. And that was another great way to kind of externally resource and bring it in. So what got me thinking more about belonging in general was so first these conversations with my visitor this weekend, where we talked so much about the journey to feeling belonging to ourselves, belonging to love, belonging to care. A sense of belonging with others, with shared values. So we had these conversations, and then there was also an experience I did have on meditation retreat not that long ago where I was practicing outside a lot. It was extremely hot, and I was practicing meditation outside. But I was feeling so held by the trees and the ground and the plants. And part of this had to do with even trying to find any shade. But there was also just like the nature of the particular desert forest environment. And also these willow trees that were down in a riverbed. So they created this wonderful place to kind of hide away in the shade. And as I was there, there was so much going on. I was in stationary meditation, but I could hear all of the insects and the birds and other animals would come and go. And I didn't feel alone. I was not around humans, but I was in with all of these other relationships with all of the energy of the plants and the animals. And as the days went on, it just felt like more and more belonging. This was so different from when I first started meditation, which I started mostly to see if it could help me with anxiety. The first time I meditated, it really helped me with my anxiety. So that was a really wonderful starting point. But then these practices for me began to grow and grow and grow. And I eventually heard stories of the Buddha, and of the Buddha becoming the Buddha and becoming enlightened. And at first, the way the kind of way that I read it and the way that I heard it, especially with my conditioning, so with my the conditioning I've had in white supremacist culture, with like talking about rugged individualism and conditioning that I'd had around not connectedness to the earth, the way that I heard the story of the Buddha becoming enlightened was the Buddha went off by himself, away from others, all alone, and then practiced really hard and obtained enlightenment. But I think, well, for me personally, there's a different story now for me, which is maybe what if the Buddha went to the Bodhi tree and that location to be connected with all things, to be so connected in interconnectedness, to be engaging in interconnectedness and belonging to all things. To be connected with the earth and the sky and the trees and the plants. And enlightenment is actually the uprooting of greed and hate and delusion. So I'm wondering now if it wasn't so much ripping out greed and hate and delusion. It's even described as uprooting, as often that language is used. But I was like, but what if the three poisons and all the ways that they could arise, that they can arise, what if they don't, what if they eventually had no space to exist? Like the sense of interbeing became so strong, the sense of connectedness was so strong, the sense of belonging was so strong that there wasn't room anymore for greed and hate and delusion, the three poisons. And it does track with how Thich Nhat Hanh talks about interbeing. It's not so. When I first heard the notion of no self, it was like a no self, no ego, almost kind of disappearing. But Thich Nhat Hanh instead has talked about interbeing, and how we are interconnected with all things. How every person is actually a state of interbeing, because our bodies are made of all of these cells with all kinds of complicated workings. All of the cells are communicating and working together. We have skeletal system, we have nerves. So this thing that I call me is actually all kinds of organisms, including my microbiome, which is a twist for me in thinking about like, no self. And getting into that ultimate reality. And also this particular self, which is actually so many different things that get called a me somehow. So this self also is made of all the things that are in nature, and all of the things in nature are in me. And it's fully interconnected. So again, there's not, in relative reality, there is deep importance in being able to get in touch with and live one's identity in a world that wants to remove that. Like Angel Kyodo Williams talks about not being able to talk about no self until being able to have a self. So in relative reality, that's very important. And then I think there's also a special connection when reaching out to ultimate reality of even a more interconnected way of thinking of the notion of no self. It's like a One time I was feeling sad about the death of a tree after the storms we'd had here. And I was visiting this tree and I was feeling really sad, and I really got a sense from the tree that the tree kind of appreciated the sentiment, so it wasn't like, don't feel sad. But I got this feeling that the tree was like, don't worry, I'm going to continue to be a part of this park. I'm just going to be in new forms. Everything in me is joined in with everything else in new forms. From feeding mushrooms and plants to insects to joining back, even with the lake and water, as water was released back into the lake. And to me, that points to a kind of tender belonging, of all things to all things. And I think when our interconnectedness and belonging gets pulled away from us in many of the ways that systems of harm operate, it can really understandably create a lot of pain and scarcity, sense of scarcity, and the feelings of being lost, and can create deep wounding. And there are just strong messages of humans being separate from nature. I know as a trans person, I've received so many messages of not being natural, when nature is incredibly queer, nature is intersex, nature is transgender. Like all across nature, there are all of these examples of all of this incredible, amazing galaxy of ways to be. And humans are like that too. And every breath we take, it's coming from plants. And every breath we breathe out is nourishing them. So we are a part of nature, all of us. And it's not a failure somehow. It's really a beautiful being a part of all things. So I jumped into this a little bit last minute. So I just needed a moment to check to see where I was. And I think also, as I finish up, think there's an opportunity to connect with that resourcing and connect with that interconnectedness. As a way to be able to lean that direction. Somebody asked at one point if I was making a decision based on running towards love or running away from fear. And I think it makes sense with many of the systems we're in. There's first often a very real need to move away from situations of harm, which is extremely real. And then also with the systems we're in, a very heightened and understandable sense of fear and being very focused on that. And I think that makes total sense. And what I appreciate with these practices also, though, with this and of leaning towards these ways of resourcing and connecting with deeper belonging, they both can help create a stronger anchor in the great worldly winds that we're in that can help, that can push and create instability and sense of fear so that we can figure out how to lean in towards love. But also, these practices so they can help create that grounding. And then also these practices can help point the way in terms of pointing more towards moving towards things of love, rather than as much time in a place of running away from fear. And again, the systems we're in are really real. So that's really legit in terms of needing to remove oneself or from places that are not, not healthy or safe. But also with the kind of activation that we can end up in, it's something that I consider now when I'm making decisions, like what am I heading for, or what am I running away from? So, I'll finish by reading this quick poem by someone named Irinia, and I found this online, and I wasn't able to find out more about this person. So, but I want to thank whoever they are. So this person wrote, "I can see this only with my imaginary eyes. I can feel it in the vibrant, empty spaces inside. How everything is woven together, so that I belong to her, to him, to them, and to you. I belong to my skin, and I belong to the bones of my hands. I belong to my nails, and of course, my heart. What if we were the first imaginary beings with concrete joints? Have we forgotten that we belong to the story of the air, water, fire, to the story of the earth? The closer I get to who I am, to the earth of the soul, to the real depth of blood, the more I cease for a moment to twist the faces of wind in my mind so the world doesn't get hurt. I belong to a window, to this edge between outside and inside. I belong to the world. Oh, how wonderful that the world belongs to itself." So I'm gonna stop there and just open the room to the wisdom in the room.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.